Kingdom Works with Rick Prosser.
The first circle, and what I would say that every couple needs to start with, is connection.
One of the gentlemen she was talking to every week said that her call is the only person that she talks to other than kind of medical professionals.
We have guys in Stockton, part of our team. We have a ministry team that goes around, just talks to people, knocks on doors, says hello. And the biggest thing they get response for is, can we pray for you?
Elevating the kingdom of God throughout Newcastle and the Hunter. This is Kingdom Works with Rick Prosser.
Hey, Rick Prosser here, Kingdom Works. It's great being with you again. Go to our website, kingdomworks.org.au. That's where you can find us, a little e-news that goes out every few weeks too. We'll give you a few updates. I tell you what, you're going to love my special guest today, Graeme Irwin. It's great to have you on the program today, mate.
Good to be here with you, Rick.
Fantastic. You are the, am I right, you're the CEO of St. Philip's Christian Education.
Yeah, that's right. St. Philip's Christian Education.
And we're in a pretty stunning new venue. What is this place? I mean, it's obviously your office, but this is the hub of...
Yeah, this is a central office where we have a team of people. There's people working in finance, people working in marketing, people working in HR, people working in building services, the whole bit. So they all work out of here, and they provide services for all our schools.
So just explain, I mean, I would imagine all of our listeners would be familiar with St. Philip's. So just give us what is it now? I mean, it's everywhere. How would you describe it?
Well, it's a multi-school organisation.
Yeah.
So we have K-12 schools. And our biggest one is Waratah here with 1,400. And we go up to Cessnock, there's 1,200 up there or more, getting close to 1,300.
Wow.
And then Port Stephens has 800. And Gosford has around 700. Then we have our special schools, our dynamic learning schools for students with autism, and our young parent schools, and our early learning centres, and an Indigenous school, Gillyba, St. Philip's Christian College, Gillyba, for the Warramai people. Yeah.
How many students?
5,000.
5,000 students. How many staff?
About 900.
Gosh. Golly. It's enormous. I mean, Cessnock's not that old, is it? Probably is. Is it a decade?
2005.
Okay, yeah. That's 20.
Yeah.
Wow. It's big. Would you call yourself an educator or a businessman?
All right. Well, I got into this business because I wanted to be an educator. And I just found myself... wanting to do more and grow things and provide for more students and, help people, help families, help staff members. So it really grew from there. But my first passion was education.
Education. Mm. Yeah. What were you? What did you graduate as?
I was a primary teacher.
Primary teacher. Mm. What was your passion back then? Any specific?
In terms of the...
Education.
The subjects.
Yeah.
I liked it all. I like primary education because you could be a jack of all trades. You know, you could be teaching maths, you could be teaching science, art, sport, whole bit. I love that. I love the variety.
So St. Philip's is 43 years.
43.
Let's rewind 40 years. How did it all come about?
Right. Well, it came about because, firstly, I had a calling into Christian schooling, and it was new back then.
Yeah, I think back then there was some government shift or something that was a catalyst to open up for Christian education.
There was, yes, public funding for schools. That was certainly one, and regulations that allowed schools to start. So back then we started St. Philip's in, during 81, we took in students at the beginning of 82. We had 18 students on the first day, then it increased to 28 during the year. If anyone asks me, I just say, how many students did you have in, 1982? I'd say 25, just an average. but there were other schools starting. Hunter Christian School was starting.
Yeah.
Belmont Christian School was starting. So it came about through a move of God, a Christian school.
Yeah, it was stunning. I'm told this is the Bible Belt of Christian Education in the state. That's what I'm told. I don't know whether it's true, but
There's a lot starting up around that time.
There's a lot. A lot of people who heard the Holy Spirit prompting them to start a Christian school. So I was starting in St. Philip's, and I didn't know what was happening over at Hunter or other places. So it was just something that the Spirit did at that time, and people responded. And, so there's never real – there's been other Christian schools started – but not as many as around that time.
Could you have imagined? Well, what did you imagine when it started? What did you imagine? What was the big dream back then?
I was just passionate about the idea that you had children for not just a half an hour at Sunday school on a Sunday, because I did that for a number of years before. But you would have them for five days a week and, six hours a day. And you could teach them about Jesus, and in the middle of teaching them everything else that they needed to know.
So it was your passion for education and faith that collided.
Yeah, that's right.
That's interesting, man. I mean, I think that's really insightful for calling in anything, whether it be a passion for business and faith or wherever it is and whatever it is, those two things meshed in with one another.
And for me, there was an element of holy discontent because I went through a state central school in a little place called Warriolda up near the Queensland border. And, I was raised on a farm, as I was telling you before, and went to this little central school. And I had a reoccurring thought all the way through school. And the thought was, surely there must be a better way to do this.
Yeah, man.
Because
it
was pretty rudimentary.
Wow.
Mm.
So that discontent was a catalyst for you. I just can't settle with this.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Must be a better way to do this. You know, schools are rigid systems. You've got this state curriculum. You've got so many weeks in the year, and that's divided into terms, and you've got so many outcomes to force into the minds of these young people. And so it's a very rigid system. So what I've been on a mission to do is to make the system less rigid and make it more flexible so that it meets the needs of the individual student. And so that's why we've diversified and looked at, special schools for young parents, all sorts of different approaches.
Right, because that's led to innovation as to from a model to what you're doing now. Yeah, it's quite astonishing. Hey, if you just joined us, Graham Irwin here is my special guest, CEO of Christian Phillips Education. I asked before, I'll just rewind the question on what did you see back then? Did you see where it is today, or did you just see a school full blown in a location?
No, look, I think faith builds.
Yeah.
And what I saw first was a school of 250.
Yeah, right.
And then my faith built and I saw a school of 500.
Yeah.
Then 750, then 900, then 1200. And with the level of faith that I had, I worked away at that. And then God gave me more faith.
Yeah, that's really, really good. What's kept you? I mean, you come across, you seem as passionate and full of vision as you've ever been. How have you kept that? How have you fostered that?
Wow, that's a really good question. So I've been really concerned about this. You know, how do you keep your passion?
Yeah.
Right to the end. So I had all my senior staff involved in a spiritual retreat.
Oh, wow.
And this was brilliant because we looked at some work that a fellow called Bobby Clinton had done in Fuller University or Fuller Seminary. And it was a study about, the disciplines you have if you want to end well.
Okay, yep.
So, and so you need to think about those way before you are anywhere near the end, and then make those part of your life. So they're spiritual disciplines, having a close relationship with God, walking with Him, and spending the time that you need to, and that you know, the things that you do and the things that you teach come out of relationship with him, rather than, you know, I've got a message to give, so I better go and spend some time with the Lord, and you just do it for that purpose. But yeah, it should come out of your relationship with him, yeah, and what he's teaching you.
Yeah.
So it's the other way around. So so it's that, it's so spiritual discipline, it's opening, you're allowing yourself to be open to spiritual experiences of the Lord, you know, like renewal, you know, revelation, expecting it, that God is going to intervene, and there's, you know, there's some suddenlies that happen in your life, being open to the Holy Spirit moving in your life. That's a big one. There's about five disciplines he talks about, you know, lifelong learning. There's a number of them, but they're the two that really stood out to
me. And so through your journey, there's been some of those catalytic spiritual moments of awakening.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Which I'd imagine, I mean, you've seen huge amounts of change in education over decades now. And challenges. What would be up there as a couple of big challenges right now in Christian education?
Wow. Well, one of the big challenges is finding Christian teachers.
Yeah.
And where on earth do you find those? So you know, where do you find young people that are really passionate in their relationship with Jesus and have this sense of calling on their life?
Yeah.
You know, so we thought about that a lot. And back in 2018, we started St. Philip's Teaching School. So that's another thing I didn't talk about that we do. Yeah. But now this model that we've created is used all over the country.
Yeah, wow.
By different schools and by groups of schools. So the model is basically going back to what Jesus did. You know, you have a teacher, he was the teacher, and you have disciples.
Yeah.
In our case, we've got mentors and trainee teachers.
Yeah.
And we put them in the classroom. They're paid as teachers' assistants for a couple of days a week, and they work with these people as well as getting their degree.
As well as educating.
And they're getting their degree. So after 4 years, they come out like they've been in schools, you know, for a long time, better than they have. And they're quite exceptional. So that's one of the big things that's been that tested me for a long time.
Yeah,
Rick, that it really pestered me. How do we get teachers? You know, Christian teachers. Can we just find them in society? Yes. And that's how Christian schools have done it for years. And relied on the fact that they'll be there. Recently, we've seen that you just can't rely on that.
No. So you've raised them, you've created a pipeline or a process.
If you can't find Christian teachers in the general community, then you have to make them yourself.
Yeah, brilliant. Highs, lows, I mean, you've had health challenges. Over the years, clean bill of health now.
Yes.
The loss of your son.
Yes.
Again, huge challenges. And yet you've stayed the course, which is a great testament to you. Of course, your wife too, your family.
Yes. She had part to play in this. Yes.
Big part. Mm-hmm. Big part. Your faith. That's been the foundation of all the journey through. Close friends, confidants.
Yeah. Look, you don't have to be alive for long before something bad will happen to you. So it's not that bad things don't happen; they do.
Yeah.
It's how you react to them. So when Sam passed away, I had a decision to make. You know, would I see God as cruel?
Yeah, well.
Would I see him as, you know, just forgetting me because, you know, I slaved and worked for him for, you know, years, and now he allows this to happen? So it could have created a bitter spirit in me. And often, you know, death and tragedy in a family does that to people. I felt the Lord saying, you know, you have to push into me, and you can ask me anything. You can say anything. You can ask me any question. You can say whatever you like at this time. So I became Forrest Gump. Remember that old movie? And I walked and ran and prayed and journaled flat out for about 2 months. The school gave me some time off, and they didn't give me all 2 months, but there was about 2 months where I just did all that journaling and pushing into God and asking really deep questions and wrestling with God. You know, when you lose someone you really love, it's a terrible time to go through, and the pain is so so terrible. And you know, I had dreams of presenting my case to God, why he should live and I should take his place.
Yeah, wow.
Because, you know, he's only 24 and I'd lived a long life, and why can't I be taken and he left here on earth. But those sort of experiences, it's really pushing into God, because that's really, you know, Jesus asked Peter whether he was going to leave too, and he said, no, where would we go? You have the words of eternal life. So that's how I was feeling at the time, you know, well, where will I go, you know, because I know the Lord is faithful.
Yeah.
And so it's really pushing in. And he really quickened the, you know, Romans 8:28, all things work together for good. When I first thought of that verse, when we're going through the pain of losing Sam, I just didn't like it. Didn't like the idea. But through the experience of really pushing into him and seeking his face and understanding that he's acquainted with pain. He understands my pain, and I can get greater comfort from someone who understands my pain than anything else. And then he gave me this beautiful understanding that I cannot explain to you, but that verse, all things work together for good, applied to me and applied to Sam.
Yeah,
well, and I can't explain that. I just know it in my heart of hearts that that's true, that somehow all things have worked together for Sam. You know, he passed away at 24, the prime of his life, but yet somehow God has an amazing plan. You know, I always think my plans are better in this sort of case than God's, but his plans are always far better than anything I could think of.
That's phenomenal. So that scripture, whilst it was a truth, it wasn't a truth for you.
No.
But it became a truth.
Became a truth, yeah.
That's phenomenal. So just to flesh that out a little bit more, because that's so powerful. Imagine some of our listeners that have been through grief and loss. Mm-hmm. You know, because you, there's some things you read, oh, I just don't believe that. It's like, that's not, you know, tore up an animal, whatever. But that the truth of it just seeped into your heart. Just by meditating and communing with the Lord.
Yeah. Yeah, look, I was really upset with losing Sam. It really shook me to my core. And I even said at one time to the Lord, you know, what would you know? You've never lost him. And then I realized, okay, yes, I've never lost. You know, that was a stupid thing to say, but that's how depressed I was and how upset I was. And then I, you know, I started to realize that, you know, I just needed to push into him, and he will have the answers ultimately. And he did. So, you know, you've got two choices. You can run and hide, or you can push into him and see his love and his his beautiful nature and his kindness.
You mentioned you had a couple of months off to just journey. And I imagine it would have taken a lot longer. How long would, I mean, there would have, you talked about depression and I imagine waves of darkness just continued, like waves crashing on the shore. How long did that last until you found what you talked about, that indescribable?
Well, it lasted 2 months where I realized I don't have to do this as intensely as I've been doing it. I still needed to keep pushing into God, to keep having time with God. But it was intense for 2 months. And then at the end of that 2 months, I felt, no, he's giving me permission to go back to normal. So I went back to basically leading a normal life, if you can, after losing someone, because the pain stays with you for years, you know.
Yeah.
The physical pain stays with you for, you know, months. The emotional pain stays with you for years. I had people say, you know, oh, Sam has died and that's about, you know, a few years ago now, you know, you should be over that. No, you don't get over that. If you didn't love a person and they died, maybe you get over it. But if there's someone you love, you don't get over that.
Well, you're never going back to what was.
No. You are able to get stronger. You know, the physical pain is not as intense. There's still emotional pain. You know, there are songs even now that if I hear, you know, Carried to the Table, that beautiful song, if I hear that, because that was played at his funeral, if I hear that, well, you know, I'm gone. I'm a blubbering mess because it's just such a beautiful thing and it reminds me so much of Sam.
That's very powerful. I mean, it's many years now, later. But the emotion of it still surfaces.
Still
on the very, very powerful. Hey, go to our website, kingdomworks.org.au. That's where you can find us. We'd love to hear from you. Choose an email. Go to our website for subscription to our interviews as well. It's been great having you on the program again today.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Bye for now.
This has been Kingdom Works on Rema FM.